Let us pray. Gracious eternal God, our Father, we do come now to say thank you. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you, God, for looking beyond our faults and seeing our needs. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to gather together once again for worship. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for these who have gathered here to worship and call on your name. Now, Lord, we thank you. You blessed us in the singing of the song of life. You blessed us in the reading of the truth. You blessed us through the prayers. You blessed us through the testimony. Now, Lord, ask that you would bless us through the proclamation of your word. Something will be said that will prick our hearts. Something will be said that will encourage us, inspire us, will lift us, will help us, will heal us, and make us whole. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. And thank you, Lord, for what our eyes have not yet seen. Bless in the name of Jesus the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. We certainly want to thank the Lord for his presence in this place. Thank God for his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the Calvary's cross, that we all might have a right to the tree of life. Thank God for not leaving us comfortless, but sending us a keeper and a helper in the presence of the form and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's good to be here. It's good to see you all. Thank God for these, my cleric colleagues, amen, sharing together, amen, stepping in. Others were not here. They stepped up. Thank God for them. This is Fifth Sunday. Usually down south, I'm told that on the Fifth Sunday, people go visit. They visit other churches. Fifth Sunday, for most folks in the south, is an off Sunday. Amen. So they're able to go out and visit. But we thank you, amen, for those of you who didn't go and visit today and came the morning sun. Thank God for the officers, members, visitors, and friends. Thank God for all of you. I certainly thank God for this wonderful male chorus. Amen. Amen. And the leadership of our Minister of Music, Deacon Thaddeus McCullough. Amen. 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 Robinson, I was going to ask you to sing that song, but I didn't have to ask. And I like that song. He sung that song last week when I was in the one night revival over in Mount Zion. I like that song. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I like all kinds of music. Some people, you know, they only like that up tempo, you know, real slow or real old. I like old sometimes up tempos. Amen. It don't matter. If it's got a message, I like it. Amen. That's what I do. I listen, you know, I'm from that generation. We listen. We want to hear what the song is saying. You know, younger crowd, it's just all you need is a beat. just a beat. Thank God. I don't want to hold you long, but I want to call your attention to that 13th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Verse 34 and verse 35. St. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35. And it reads, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Word of God for the people of God. Sisters and brothers, it is my belief that every now and then God wants us to reflect on where we are on our personal and collective journeys, where we are in our personal and corporate lives, where we are in ministry, and where we are as a people and as a church. So God often asks us a question to get us thinking about those things. But when God asks a question, God is not looking for answers that he does not already have. And he's not looking for something he has not already heard. He just wants us to reflect on the question in relationship to our lives, who we are, what we are, how we are, where we are, and how we should be. And then somehow allow the answer that he gives to inform us, influence us, and guide us to where he wants us as believers, as followers, as a community, as a church, and as a ministry to be. So today I just want to talk for just a few minutes from this subject, how will they know? How will they know? By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Sisters and brothers, there's more going on concern. So I'll just attempt to highlight just a few of the important points that we can take from this narrative. In this text, Jesus is talking about love. And there is no denying it. Jesus' entire ministry was all about love. Jesus' life was about love. Jesus' teachings was about love. And as he nears the conclusion of his earthly ministry, the last lesson he shares with the disciples is about love. How will they know? Those who were not raised in church, were not reared in Christian homes, have not received godly guidance, have not been embraced by the saints, have not heard the word of God, have not sang the songs of Zion, and have not had somebody pray for them. How will they know? When they are living in poverty, going to bed hungry, sleeping with roaches and rats, being marginalized by society, flunking out of school academically, and being regularly told that they are nobody, never was, never will be. How will they know? When they are on welfare, food stamps, mama's got a habit, daddy's got a Jones, and their best friend is a drug dealer or gang member. How will they know? When they never heard about the Bible study, when they never set foot in a Sunday school class, they don't have a clue who the preacher's talking about and who in the world is the deacon praying for and praying to who. How will they know? Jesus says, by this. Can you be with us? I'm sure, sisters and brothers, that Jesus' disciples, his followers, and these lowly apostles never doubted that Jesus loved each of them. After all, he had picked them from among common folk, like fishermen, tax collectors, thieves, zealots, rabble-rousers, and no-names. And he taught them, he trained them, but most of all, he loved them. But now Jesus was giving them a new commandment, that they love one another, just not just in any old way, but love each other as he had loved them. So if anything ought to distinguish Christians, if anything ought to identify believers, if anything ought to give away who we are and whose we are, Jesus said that it should be love. No big Bibles under our arms or crosses around our necks, no neck or no fine suits on our back or big church hats on our head. Jesus said, by this. No clergy robe, no clergy flowers, no cross earrings. Jesus says, by this. Jesus could have used a whole lot of other things to identify who his disciples were and how his disciples should be. After all, these are the men who he had given power to and sent them out to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. So Jesus could have said, by preaching they will know, or by healing they will know, or by cleansing the lepers they will know, or by raising the dead they will know, or by casting out demons they will know. But instead, Jesus said, by love, they will know that you are my disciples. This, sisters and brothers, was the last meeting, the last supper, and the last teaching. And Jesus could have said, by preaching, or by singing, or by praying, or by shouting, or by dancing, or by anointing, or by this, or by that. But Jesus said, by love, they will know. He could have said, by memorizing the Bible, or looking holy, or talking holy, or walking like you're holy, or acting holy. But Jesus said, by this, they will know. The last lesson on disciples or discipleship is about love. Knowing, sisters and brothers, denotes intimacy. It's based on personal experience or contact. With knowing is not understood in the Greek sense of knowledge based on what one hears or is taught verbally. It comes directly from having done, having encountered, having been touched, or having touched. Love was and is so important to God that when he reissued the children the Ten Commandments, he put it first. You shall love your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And Jesus said to those who sought to trap him and tried, who had rejected him, in the first commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. Then, preacher, what's wrong with the world and the church? Well, there are too many loveless homes, loveless communities, loveless people, loveless ministries, loveless churches, and loveless disciples in the world. They claim to be disciples, but you can't see any love. They claim to be followers, but you can't see any love. They claim to be Christian, but you, when you look at what motivates them, what moves them, you don't see any love anywhere to be found. When that happens, I come to tell you, you'll end up with a messed up church, messed up world, messed up ministry. But Jesus said, by this. Oh, I know some great preachers. I know some great prophets. I know some great healers. But Jesus said, by this. Oh, I like to hear good preaching. I like to hear good singing. But Jesus said, by this. I like to see folk get excited and sometimes run around the church. Now, I'm not going to run with you, but it's all right if you run. But Jesus said, by this. I like to hear some of those old-time preachers whoop every now and then. I can't really do it, but I like to hear it. But Jesus said, by this. Sisters and brothers, this was the last thing. The last supper, the last training session, the last opportunity for Jesus to impart his message, his principles, his ideal, his ministry mandate to his disciples. And here was Jesus, or Judas, at the table, sitting with the Savior, and the devil still got in. This lets us know that you can be in the church and the devil can still get in. You can be with the Lord and the devil can still get in. You can be around God and the devil can still get in. You can be taught the word of God and the devil can still get in. You can witness miracles and the devil can still get in. Sisters and brothers, the kind of love that Jesus was talking about always comes with something connected to it. We overlook that fact because it's in the text. It's all around it. You can't miss it unless you're blind or trying to overlook it intentionally, because it's right there for all to see. And John's gospel is full of examples of it. Do I have a witness? John writes about love that's connected to something, and Jesus was talking about love that is connected to something. You see it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. There it is again in chapter 10, verse 17, verse 18, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man can take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. That's love. There it is again in chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandment. There it is again in verse 21. He who has my commandment and keep them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will manifest myself. And there it is again in the 23rd and 24th, where Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. There it is again in chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. As the Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. There it is again, chapter 15, verse 12 through 14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for a friend. There it is again in chapter 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. And there it is in chapter 17, verse 26. And I have declared to you, declared to them your name. And I will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Tina Turner sang a song, what's love got to do with it? Turn to your neighbor and say, everything. Turn to the other side, tell your other neighbor, everything. Well, Jesus was getting his disciples ready, because he looked down the road and saw Calvary coming. Jesus was getting them ready, because he looked down the road and saw an old red cross. Jesus was getting them ready, because he looked down the road and saw fear and abandonment. And Jesus was getting them ready, because he looked down the road of their lives and he saw mean-spirited saints. He saw arrogant church members. He saw hostile environments. He saw unmerited attacks. He saw those who would abandon truth for popularity. He saw those who would serve men but not him. He saw all of these things, and he knew that the only thing that could overcome the world is love. The only thing that can overcome hate is love. The only thing that can overcome pain is love. The only thing that can overcome brokenness is love. The only thing that can heal wounded souls is love. The only thing that can deliver the lost is love. The only thing that can withstand the attacks of the enemy is love. And the only thing that can properly represent God's character is love. Ain't the love all right? Solomon was right when he wrote, love is as strong as death. The only thing that can fix a broken world, a broken man, a broken woman, or a broken child is love. Money can't do it. Power can't do it. Prestige can't do it. Prominence can't do it. Postulating can't do it. Prophesying can't do it. And preaching can't do it. The only thing that can show the world God is love. Ever read about it? My
to ask people to love each other is another thing to show him like Jesus did. It's one thing to ask people to serve others is another thing to show him like Jesus did. It's one thing to ask people to sacrifice for one another. It's one another thing to show them like Jesus did. It's one thing to ask others to give. It's another thing to give of oneself like Jesus did. Am I right about it? Something else you will notice in Jesus' teaching about love. Love does not ever stand alone. It's not abstract. It's not invisible. And it's not intangible. The kind of love Jesus was teaching about, you can see it. You can touch it and you can be touched by it. You have a witness? Yes, people know that you are following Jesus, not your family, when you show love. You know what about it? People know you're following Jesus and not some misguided brother or sister when you show love. People know you're following Jesus and not some personal agenda or clique when you show love. That's why Jesus said that is. Oh yeah. Hallelujah. By this, you will know that people will know that you are my disciples if you have love. Yes. Love is always connected to something. But there are some other characteristics that identify love. Can I get a witness? What's that, Paul? You'll be a witness? Tell us about love. Where love suffers long is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself rudely. Does not seek its own. Not provoke. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love. Is there anything else you want to tell us about love? Yes. And now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these. Yeah. Thank you, Paul, for telling us about Christian love. Sisters and brothers, here Jesus was headed to Calvary, but it still took time to talk about love. On his way to Golgotha's hill, but it still took time to talk about love. On his way to a date with a Roman cross, but it still took time to talk about love. Why was he talking about love? Well, I'm glad you asked. He was talking about love because love is the greatest example of the Christian faith. He was talking about love because it's at the heart and soul of what God stands for. He was talking about love because it's what made him leave glory to bring to a lost and dying world the redemption story. He was talking about love because that was his mission that he received from the Father. And he was talking about love because John was right when he wrote, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does know God. For God is love." Ain't the love all right? God's love may be difficult to describe, but God's love, sisters and brothers, has an eye that can see beyond the surface, an ear that can hear the silent cry of the heart, a hand that can lift up a fallen soul, an arm that can reach around the world, a voice that can speak words of inspiration, a foot that can walk the extra mile of the way, and a heart that can feel our deepest woes. Ain't the love reminded of a story about three people who were sitting by studying the Bible. And they were talking about their best and their most cherished translations of the Bible. One said, "I like the New English version of the gospel because it's easier reading than all the older versions." The second said, "I prefer the New Jerusalem Bible because the translations have been modernized and they don't sacrifice any of its meanings." The final person replied, "I know an even better translation of the Bible. I like my mother's translation best. She translated the Bible into her life, and it is the most convincing translation I've ever seen. She was a loving and caring person, and she always took and looked out for the needs of others seriously. She fed the hungry, and she clothed the naked. She looked out for the stranger. She visited the sick and the elderly. That's what Jesus did when he was on earth." The other two said, "You're right, and that is the truth." So that's what I want to leave you with. How will they know? By this will all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. When I'm hungry and you feed me, that's love. If I'm sick and you visit me, that's love. If I'm in trouble and you pray for me, that's love. If I'm being battered by the storms of life and you encourage me, that's love. If I fall down and you help pick me up, that's love. If I struggle and you stand in me, that's love. If I'm in jail and you visit me, that's love. Sisters and brothers, I know Jesus loved me. Y'all know him, don't you? Jesus, the Word made flesh. Jesus, love a baby. Born in a manger. Wrapped in swaddling clothing. Jesus, the Son of David. And the seed of Abraham. Jesus, the lily of the valley. And the bright and morning star. Jesus, the wonderful counselor. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. This Jesus said to his followers and us, that by this people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Jesus, who grandmama said is a doctor in the sick room and a lawyer in the courtroom, a bridge over troubled water, a way out of no way. Jesus, who the elder said is a friend to the friendless, a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless, and bread when you're hungry and water when you're thirsty. This Jesus could have used anything, but he chose love. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he loves me, because when I fell, he forgave me. When I fall, he lifts me. Strengthens me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. Ain't it alright? When I'm mad, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he's with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he covers me. And when I face loss, he provides for me. So, hymn writer said they put it this way. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity, and they will know we are Christians by our love.